Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. It's Bill Bartholomew here with you. Hopefully, you're enjoying the spectacular Rhode Island summer, enjoying the month of August, my birth month. And, you know, August, it's kind of like a melancholy time for some people. Like, oh, man, summer's over. And I guess if you're on the academic calendar, there's some truth to that. But look, September, extremely overlooked month. It's still beautiful, and we've got a long way to go this season. And to that point, I'm going to be taking some time off, as I have in previous years of B-Town, over the next few weeks, and I'll be back after Labor Day with new episodes as we gear up for a big 2022, big election year here in the state, and I'll be bringing you, of course, the news, politics, arts, culture, media, whatever it is that we do here on B-Town in full force after Labor Day with some new production and some new graphics and all that business. But for today, we have a fun conversation, trying to do some fun stuff here in I guess the last few weeks that you've been listening. We're talking about the Warren Folks Fest coming up at the end of the month with Mark Dobbin and the Collaborative's Uriah Donnelly. And this sort of fits into a concept that I've been trying to get into. We just did Pawtucket a few weeks back. Taking a look at different municipalities and the experience there, and we're not going to go necessarily through all 39 cities and towns. I mean, there are other people that are doing that, but as often as we can, taking a look at the culture and sort of the existence of different municipalities that aren't Providence, Newport, the greater South County region, whatever it is, and Warren fits like a glove in that category. So we talk about the Warren Folks Fest, an interesting event that you can go to. It's a free event, and we get into the specifics of kind of Warren's rise over the last, for me, it's been about a five-year experience that I've seen the town really transforming, and I think our guests today agree with that notion. And, you know, is it at its peak? I mean, does Airbnb swoop in and all of a sudden Warren's like the next Newport and, you know, nobody can live there anymore and all that business? So there's a lot in here today. Hopefully you enjoy it. And again, I'll be off for a few weeks. Make sure you check out the well over 320 past episodes with elected officials, media members, artists, and all sorts of Rhode Islanders at ripodcast.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening right now. You know, you can support this program as well. You just head to patreon.com/BartholomewTown, where for as little as $3 per month, you know, you can kind of help fund the bedrock of the operation. At the $10 per month level, you get exclusive content. And, you know, that's something that we really appreciate here at B-Town. It's an entirely independent operation. Not getting any kind of paycheck for this or anything like that, that's for sure. So your support helps to sustain the independent journalism, opinion, analysis, and entertainment that B-Town has become known for. Head to patreon.com/BartholomewTown or simply send a one-time donation of any amount, a dollar or whatever, to Venmo at Bill Bartholomew or paypal.me/BillBartholomew. All right, without further ado, let's get into it. The Warren Folks Fest coming up at the end of the month. What is it? And let's talk a little bit about Warren, Rhode Island, here on Rhode Island's podcast of record, B-Town. Okay, so today we're talking about the Warren Folks Fest coming up at the end of the month here. And it's also a good chance to talk about Warren, Rhode Island, as we, and on Bartholomew Town, we're kind of starting, holy Moses, hopefully I can speak throughout the duration of this. We're kind of starting a look at different parts of the state, different municipalities. We already took a look at Pawtucket a few weeks ago and just kind of getting a feel for life there in places where, you know, I guess the population is lower than other parts of the state. So we welcome in today Mark Dobbin and Uriah Donnelly. And first of all, welcome to the pod.
Thanks, Bill.
So the Warren Folks Fest, how would you describe it to people out there?
So it's, you know, it started out as really it was going to be a pig roast and party for a couple of friends who coincidentally have the same birthday. Like there was three, and you mentioned Warren being a small town, you know, it's, there are three people that live in Warren that all have the same birthday. So it was sort of like this weird phenomenon. And so we were going to throw a pig roast and have some bands, and it was really low budget, low key. But it turned into sort of this big thing. And that was back in 2016. And so, you know, over the years, it's definitely become more of a real live festival with, and each year it grows and things get added to it. I think like the idea of calling it the Folks Festival was sort of us just being a little too clever for ourselves and kind of tongue in cheek. Cause it was, again, it wasn't supposed to be a festival. It was, you know, it's certainly not folk music. Although there is sometimes that there, it was never intended to be anything like the Newport Folk Festival. So it was sort of tongue in cheek, I think, when we did it. Similarly, the first year we called it the second annual Warren Folks Festival, and it like totally worked from a marketing standpoint. It threw a lot of, we had people come up to us and say, "Oh, sorry, I missed last year." And we were like, "Well, there wasn't one."
Well, first of all, what are the dates for this coming year's event, and what specifically can people expect if they turn up?
So it's on August 28th, which is a Saturday this year. Typically, we've done it on Sundays, but we've switched it to Saturday this year. The festival will start about 1 o'clock. It'll run until about 8. It's music the entire time from. There's two stages. One stage has, which is more of like a band set up. It has six acts on it. And then there's the second stage that's curated by PVD Live. They've brought in five, mostly I think it's a singer-songwriter, one person acts on that stage. There's roughly 40 arts and wares, crafts, vendors in an art festival space. Narragansett Beer is our big beer sponsor. They've been our sponsor for, this will be the third year in a row where they're the primary sponsor, and they bring a bunch of delicious liquid. And we also have a couple of wine vendors like Anchor and Hope, who's local. They're out of East Providence, Avia Wines. You know, there's some non-alcoholic things as well. Granny Squibb will be there and a couple other options. There's a lot of local food too. We usually try to draw from all the local restaurants here in Warren because it is sort of like a scene. There's a lot going on. We met some challenges this year with that for a lot of reasons. One, it's on a Saturday, so that's difficult for restaurants if they're not set up with the extra catering staff and things. We're all aware that a lot of the restaurants are and businesses in general are having staffing issues, but restaurants seem to be hit the hardest. So it's a little trickier this year trying to corral all that, but there'll be plenty of food, plenty of drink, plenty of music, lots of fun art and activities for people to do. There's a kids tent where they can make cool things with Makers, which is a kids studio here in Warren. There's a photo booth where you can get your picture taken by Little Outdoor Giants. And there's a couple other few things that we've been working on to make it a fun day. So you can come and spend, you know, a long time there and not feel like you're just sitting around. There's going to be a lot to do.
And you mentioned Warren and the scene in there, which is very true. And it's fascinating. You've got a town that, for me, in, I guess, 30 something years of on and off being a Rhode Islander, you know, I've paid attention to and have seen in modern times really transform. Really, over the last 5 years, it feels like things have been kicked into high gear. I think of the Galactic Theater and Dave Podsnap, and that being an anchor point in the town, at least for me, and I think for a lot of other people in terms of being a music hub, but many other places as well. You have this really interesting infrastructure, a lot of older, almost factory type buildings. There's a really kind of quintessential Main Street and a waterfront. So I guess if Mark, if you could kind of riff on the idea of Warren emerging and, you know, is Warren the place to be without trying to make it into the next, Airbnb / gentrification capital, but is Warren kind of one of the places to be in the state right now?
Yeah, that's, that may have already started happening, Bill. Yeah. And this will probably just further Warren's demise into fancy pants gentrification. But no, the town has changed phenomenally. I was born and raised here and left when I was 18. And it was just a sleepy town. And the waterfront has always been beautiful, and it's sort of blue collar roots have always been great. It's always been a real community oriented town. But no one really noticed it, which was good and bad. And I moved back here about 5 years ago now. Even just the moment I got back, I could tell something was different. There was stuff going on. Uriah and the Collaborative, which was on Main Street, which is a arts cooperative and occasional music venue, was up. And David Podsnap was doing various iterations of his chaotic creative vision. And restaurants were starting to come to town. And that's all just continued to snowball along with this festival, which, as Uriah said, started as sort of a joke and sort of just a party and has now turned into one of the great events of the Rhode Island summer. It changes and continues to change. The restaurant scene here has really blown up. There's fantastic dining on Main Street and Water Street, and just a lot of cool folks coming to town. And so we're just trying to keep it going and keep it sort of culturally happening as well as up and coming in terms of, you know, just the types of people that are moving to town and sort of the money that's coming into the town. We want it to match that in terms of what there is to do here and sort of having some cultural and artistic quality to it too.
And to that point, I want to talk about the Collaborative when we come back from a very quick break. This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast, Rhode Island's podcast of record on Spotify, Apple, ripodcast.com, or wherever you like to listen. Support for B-Town comes from Cleverhood, makers of high-performance rain capes. Learn more by visiting cleverhood.com. Check out my new music podcast, Song Obsessed, wherever you're listening right now, or head to billpodcast.com. It's my conversations with songwriters from all over the country, all over the world. It's a brand new series. I've got like 8 episodes posted right now, a brand new initiative, a national podcast, Song Obsessed, at billpodcast.com, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. So let's talk about the Collaborative. What is it? And I think a lot of people probably hear that name floating around, whether it's like some Instagram post or just like it's like a buzzy place. I know what it is, but I guess explain to everybody exactly what the Collaborative is.
Yeah, we're a nonprofit arts organization. It started in 2016. It was 3 people, myself, Adam Tracy, who's a Warren resident and artist, and Jeff Denellian, who's a Warren resident educator, looking for a place that friends of ours and artists and musicians could all gather together and happen to have this opportunity for a Main Street storefront at a reasonable rate just to start it. And it would kind of just grown and done things as they come, with really no folks as this the same kind of idea. Like we had really no idea what we were doing to start out, but learned along the way, and really are surrounded by a lot of cool people. It started out with just really the 3 of us, and now it's like full-fledged, like, 8 member board, board of directors, and it's sort of like an actual organization now. But we focus on local art, also arts education. We try to have as many opportunities for people to learn art, but also for artists to learn sort of how to be a working artist and a small business. In a lot of ways, we have a gallery coordinator who takes care of the gallery on Main Street, Sandy, and she's always saying that we're not this high level white cube gallery on purpose. We want to be the place where people could experiment and try stuff out and work on something new or be the first experience they have being in a gallery. And we want that to be a positive one. We don't say no to people. We're unjuried and uncensored for the most part. We refuse anything, haven't had to yet, but anything with hate or any other kinds of things that wouldn't be appropriate. But it hasn't, that hasn't happened yet, where anybody's tried to bring anything in that would be inappropriate. But again, it's like we're not censored and juried because we don't believe that we should be choosing what, you know, what it is you're passionate about. You know, we want people to see it if you want to do it. And that goes for the music too, where we've had, you know, our little gallery up on Main Street, it's like 450 square feet. It's pretty small. And we've had live full bands in there. We've had, you know, storytelling nights, poetry nights, all kinds of different things. We try to mix it up and squeeze it in there as best we can. But again, we're not bringing in major acts, you know, and on purpose. We've said no to some actual national people that were coming through when they wanted to do a small intimate gallery show, because A, it's sort of too big for our capacity, but also we'd rather have somebody local starting out or really trying to work on stuff to get seen by a different group of people.
You've got Sip and Dip Donuts. You've got kind of a tough traffic pattern on some of your roadways. Those are some of the things that people think of when they think of Warren. I think of it as like Bristol Warren is this interesting entity. It's almost like, you know, you're nestled. You're not really, I mean, you're your own county. You're not really nestled. You're not really Newport. You're definitely not Newport. You're definitely not Providence.
Right.
Almost Massachusetts in a way, like Seekonk, that region, but not really that either. What's it like being in Warren? Do you feel disconnected from the rest of the state? Do you think state leaders and whether it's the governor, the lieutenant governor, whoever, do you think they understand what's going on in your city? Pardon me, your town.
That's a great question. I feel like we're right at the center of Rhode Island. What do you think, Uriah?
Yes.
there definitely is a sense that. I don't know. I guess you could see it from both sides, but it does. Yeah. When you're here, it does feel like this is where it's at, you know. And it does sort of also feel like it's far away from everything else too. But you know, as far as recognition, you know, we're gaining that. And you were right to say it all. This sort of unintentionally all started 5 or 6 years ago, and it's a coincidence, right? Mark says he moved back here 5 years ago. Collaborative started 6 years ago, right? Like all these things sort of started to happen organically all at the same time. We're getting, as a nonprofit, we get recognition from some state folks, you know, our legislators are active and they help us out. I know RISCA, we've gotten grants from RISCA and they're really trying to focus on some pockets of the state that don't get represented often, and Warren, you know, is on their list of people that they want to represent more. So it's getting there. We have the governor comes and visits once in a while, like different folks come and visit once in a while, and we have a really great town manager and town planner who are very forward thinking, and they're really active and they're trying to do things that sort of makes Warren different from what other folks are doing. And that draws attention, for sure.
The Warren Folks Fest coming up. It's August 28th in Warren. Show up there. Starts at 1 o'clock. Get a feel for the town that is the center of Rhode Island right there.
And it's free, Bill.
Oh, totally free. Well, that's a little different than the Newport Folk Festival.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Great. All right, thank you, Bill.
Rhode Island's podcast of record, B-Town. At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.